is God. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's stand for the word of the Lord this morning. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be talking about the gospel of good riddance. I will explain that in a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says this: that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Everybody say old man. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed. Everybody say renewed. In the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man. Everybody say new man. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Praise God. What a mouthful right there. Whew. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for this passage, not only written to the church at Ephesus, but I believe applicable to us here today. Bless the word of God, Lord. I know you'll do it. It will not ever return void. Ask your anointing on me as a mouthpiece in Jesus' name. All God's people say amen. Amen. You can be seated in his presence. Has anybody heard about Good Riddance Day? Wow. I guess really you probably would not unless you live in New York City. Yesterday, this past Saturday, December 28th, was Good Riddance Day in Times Square. A couple photos and logos I'll show you in a moment. Organizers there encourage people to write down their past problems and then throw the lists into large shredders. Brother Tim, go ahead and advance the slide, please. If you will, there's a couple. Oh, there it is right there. That's their logos. Shed and shred your bad memories of 2013. It symbolizes the act, they said, of letting go of painful memories and bad experiences and maybe foolish mistakes and bad relationships and unwise choices. Letting it all go if it's been kind of gunking up their insides. And they say hundreds of people flock to Times Square to destroy publicly the mementos and papers representing unpleasant experiences and bad memories from the year. I mean, they bring items that include everything from photos of ex-girlfriends and boyfriends to newspaper articles that chronicle the failings of their favorite sport teams. For items that can't be shredded, the Times Square Alliance, who organized this day, they provide sledgehammers and large waste containers so you can destroy it. So between shredder and sledgehammer, people feel they can experience an emotional release, closure, which enables them to then move on into the new year. I read one blogger who loves this idea, and they wrote this, and I quote, "I think," they said, "this is becoming my favorite holiday. It's the day and the chance to say good riddance to some things." And they wrote and said, "I'm making quite a list." It appeals to many because, as we all need to say sometimes good riddance to problems of our past from time to time, and I can't say I've ever used a shredder in that sense or a sledgehammer, but I have used our Savior. Hello. And if the shredder or the sledgehammer helps you, I'm not going to say don't do it, but I know I have had to come to the Savior several times. Hello. And say goodbye to some things. Huh? Anybody ever had to say goodbye to some things? You know, I'm glad. You don't have to travel to Times Square. That's good news, isn't it? You don't have to travel to Times Square to get closure on an issue. All you have to do is go to Christ. You can receive ultimate closure and healing. Amen, Pastor. That's good preaching. What about, folks, why don't we make 2013? I'm talking about 2013, not 14. 2013. Why don't we make 2013 a year of good riddance? Hello? Which we say farewell, goodbye, maybe to anger, bitterness, finger pointing, self-justification. Ask God to grant us a fresh infusion of His grace and a fresh anointing. How many could say, I believe for the Lord for that? Here in this text, Paul is calling the church at Ephesus to participate in a day of good riddance, to de-junk their spiritual lives. And the reason for this is because Paul knew that we get tied to the things in our past. Is that not true? We can get tied to the things in our past. And I began to look at this week. I read an illustration that spoke to that truth. Read about two hunters who were out hunting and came upon what appeared to be at first an abandoned farm. And the barn was sagging, the house was in disrepair, and there was junk cars and car parts lying all around on the ground. And the only thing that made it appear to be a working farm were there was a few chickens pecking away and a goat wandering around. And as they entered the farmyard, they came upon an old well. And they looked at each other and said, "I wonder how deep this thing is." And they said, "Well, let's drop something down in here and listen for the splash." And they looked around and for something to drop in the old well. But the only thing close by was an old car transmission. And they both hauled it over to the well and dropped it in. And they counted and waited a long time before the splash. Sure enough, they determined it was a very deep well. They turned to leave and they saw this goat. It was charging at them, head down, its horns headed straight for them. Just in time, they jumped to the side and the goat whizzed right past them and straight down into the well. They looked at each other with amazement, and as they started to leave, the owner the farm came up, and so they just began to chat and for a moment and got permission to hunt on his land. And as they were leaving, the farmer said, "Hey, have either of you two seen my goat?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Your goat charged us a while ago. Could have killed us. You should keep that goat tied up." The farmer said, I did. I had him tied up to an old transmission. The life lesson, church, is we follow what we're tied to. Huh? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, we follow what we're tied to. For a moment, I want us to imagine our lives as houses with different rooms. Some rooms are really tidy and sorted out and organized. How many's got those kind of rooms? It's those rooms you don't mind showing visitors. Then there's the junk rooms. Anybody got a junk room? Junk rooms that's filled with stuff that we don't want to look at, we don't want to address. We've got boxes containing things that maybe we've hidden, no one maybe even knows about there. Maybe there's things in that junk room that embarrass us, so we keep them there. Now, I want you to think about your spiritual life for a minute this morning. Has anybody heard of that television program called Hoarders? They enable people to declutter their homes and get some, reestablish a sense of housekeeping skill again. Think with me this morning. If the helpers came in from the Hoarders program and laid out everything in our house of faith, what things would we keep as essential? What things could we live without? What things should we junk? Hello? Are you following me so far? See, the new year is a time to cut the tie to our past. Some things might be precious in our past. Some might be pretty. But some can be very junky. Hello? And Paul tells the believers in Ephesus they need a de-junking session. They need to strip things back to the bare essentials. And you see, if we have too much clutter around our house of faith, we're going to lose track of what's truly important. And when it comes to our lives as believers, we often hold on to the junk of our previous lives. We hold on sometimes to sins and pleasures of the world. And even though we say that the birth and the cross and the resurrection of Christ makes all the difference in the world, why is it sometimes we still hold on to the junk of the past? That old familiar sin, or maybe that pride or hate or fear or worry or you know, it's junk. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, let it go. Huh? Go ahead and turn to your neighbor. Tell him, let it go. Let it go. Ephesians 4 shows us what to do with it. Paul says, get rid of it. Replace it with some wholesome fruit of the Spirit. Learn to say goodbye to some things. The old self, the former part of our life, which was corrupted by its deceitful desires, its uselessness. And he says, now realize you're new creatures in Christ. And the simplest illustration, I think, of this truth is given to us in one of the Gospels, John chapter 11. It records for us the resurrection of the man named Lazarus. And Christ's good friend, Lazarus, had been in the grave 4 days, I think, now, when Jesus and his disciples arrived at Bethany. And even Mary, his sister, admitted that by now the decaying body would smell. But Christ spoke the word. How many knows he can still speak the word? Christ spoke the word, and the Bible says Lazarus, who had been in the grave for 4 days, came out alive. Notice the Lord's next words. He said, loose him and let him go. Praise God. Say that with me. Loose him and let him go. Aren't you glad you can be loosed this morning? Lazarus no longer belonged to the old dominion of death because he was now alive. He needed to cut the ties to death. Praise God. Why do some go on wearing grave clothes? Listen, I don't have 3 points this morning. All I have is one. Cut the ties to the past. Take off the old, put on the new. What about all that junk in your life? It's time to replace it all with some godliness. Replace hate with some love. Replace fear with some faith. Replace the old with the new. It won't cause you pleasure. That old junk will only bring judgment. That old junk will only bring bitterness and resentment. Listen, for hoarders, more stuff is always better, no matter what the stuff is. I mean, they can't let go of anything. And for alcoholics, more drinks are better, no matter, you know, how many they've already had. For drug addicts, one more snort, one more smoke, one more shot is better. Listen, for anorexics, one more lost pound or one more lost ounce is better. For those whose addiction maybe it's money, there's no such thing to them as being rich enough. For those whose addiction is power, there's no such thing as enough power. They're always wanting more. And Paul says, no, you need to let all of that junk go. Come into a brand new year and step into a new life in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to describe to the church at Corinth in chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? He's a new creation or creature. He said the old man is gone, the new is come. And that word therefore refers us back to verses 14 through 16, where Paul tells us that all true believers have died with Christ at the cross, and they have raised with Christ from the grave. Our lives are no longer worldly. They are to be spiritual. Hello. Our death is that old sin nature was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. It was buried with Him. And just as He is raised with the Father, we are raised, Paul said, to walk in newness of life. Listen, that new person that was raised up is what Paul refers to as being a new creation. And to understand that new creation, we must grasp the fact that a creator God, aren't you glad He's a creator God? He is not just a remodeler. He is a creator. John 1:13 tells us that this thing is called a new birth. And it's brought about as the will of God, as the will of the creator. We did not inherit a new nature. We didn't just decide within ourselves to recreate ourselves. We didn't decide to just wake up one morning and turn over a new leaf and become a new person. No, God simply came through, cleaned up the old nature and made us entirely fresh, made us a new, unique person. And the new creation is completely new, brought out of nothing. Aren't you glad He's a creator God? He can speak and things happen. I said He can speak and things will happen. Only the creator God can do that. Now I want you to see, secondly, old things have passed away. The old refers to the old nature. And I want us to see the old pride, the old love of sin. Those that were in the Bible class this morning, it was hard for me not to merge these two thoughts, because I was dealing some over in the book of Colossians with this same idea. But notice he says the old nature, that reliance on works and maybe the old former opinions and habits and passions of the past. But most significantly, what we loved, okay, has passed away, especially the supreme love of ourselves. And it's that self-righteousness and maybe some self-promotion and self-justification. The new creature looks outwardly toward Christ instead of inwardly toward what we can do for ourselves. The old things, Paul said, died. They were nailed to the cross with that old sinful nature. And along with the old passing away, he simply announces the new has come. Praise God. And old dead things then can be replaced with new things full of the life and the glory of God. The newborn soul delights in the things of God. It abhors the things of the flesh and our purposes, our feelings, maybe our desires and understandings of are fresh and they're different. We see, once we come to Christ, we see the world differently. And the Bible seems maybe to be a new book. And though we may have read it before, there's a new beauty about it, which maybe we've never seen. The things that we once loved in the world, we now detest once we've become a new creation. The sin that we once held on to and embraced, we now can put it away forever. You see, we put off the old man, as Colossians 3:9 says, okay, with his deeds or with his activities and actions. We put on the new man created in the image or the likeness in the true righteousness and holiness of Christ. So what about, you say, well, Pastor, what about the Christian now who continues to sin? Let me say, there's a difference between continuing to sin and continuing to live in sin. No one may reach that sinless perfection in this life, but the redeemed believer is being sanctified, means to be made holy, day by day, sinning less. Hello, do you hear me? Sinning less and hating it more each time he fails. Yes, we may still sin from time to time. We may falter, but unwillingly and less frequently as we mature in Christ. Our new self hates the sin that once had that hold on us. And the difference is that the new creation is no longer a slave to sin. Somebody say slave. We are now freed from sin, and it no longer, Romans 6:6 says, we know it no longer has power over us. Now we are empowered not by sin and the dominion of darkness, but we are empowered by righteousness, godliness. And we now have a choice. Are we going to let sin reign and rule in our bodies? Or are we going to count ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ? Best of all, we have the power to choose the latter. So today, being the last Sunday, turn to your neighbor and say, this is the last Sunday of 2013. As we look back over the past 12 months, I'm sure there have been times during the year that we blew it. Hello? Now you all are a bunch of sanctimonious folks. There's been times we've all struck out. So I guess it's good to be able to come back to the plate and start over in the game of life. This is what grace, this is what mercy. When He changes us from sinner to saint and we become new creatures in Christ, we're able to start over again. By washing, redeeming with His blood, giving us a second chance, third chance. How many know God sees in us what no one else can see? I'm reminded of one spring sometime many years ago. I believe it was before the Civil War. A boy in search of work came to Mr. Worthy Taylor's farm here in Ohio. The farmer knew nothing much about that boy, except his name was Jim. But he gave him a job, and Jim spent the winter cutting wood for the stove and bringing in the cows and making himself just generally useful around the farm. He ate in Mr. Worthy's kitchen and slept in the hayloft. Before the summer was over, Jim, this farmhand, fell in love with Mr. Worthy Taylor's daughter. But Mr. Taylor refused to let him court her or marry her because Jim was just a farmhand. He had no money. He had no well-to-do name. He was just very poor future. And soon Jim, disappointed and heartbroken, took his belongings, put them in an old carpet bag, and left. 35 years passed before Mr. Taylor one day was out tearing down his old barn to make room for a new one. And on the rafters above the hayloft where Jim had slept, he had carved his full name, James A. Garfield, who was at that time President of the United States. People may look at us and think there's not much hope. People look at some and see not much future. Hello. But Christ comes along. Thank God He sees what no one sees. He sees the diamond in the rough. He sees possibilities that all would submit to Him will become something. Why? Because He believed people could change. That's why He called Matthew the tax collector. He believed people could change. That's why He went home to Zacchaeus' house, because He believed people could change. And thank you, God, that He can see what no one else sees. He can take our flawed lives and make something meaningful, make something useful out of them. He gives us a brand new life, not just a redecorated one, not just a partially pre-owned car. Hello. He gives us a new life, straight out of the factory, right off the track. Somebody raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Do I have any Pentecostals in the house that would say, thank you, Lord, for your mercy? Turn to your neighbor and say, I've been changed. I've been changed. Oh, listen, church, I told you I don't have 3 points this morning. I want us to reflect this morning. Next Sunday, we're going to start a new series. But I want us to reflect on the fact that we have been changed because of Jesus Christ. We can cut the ties to our past. Why? Because He's washed us. He's sanctified us. He's redeemed us. He's justified us. He's saved us. I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not what I want to be. But thank God I've been delivered. I said, thank God we've been delivered from a past that for some of us was pretty rotten. But thank God we got a bright future in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the message of the gospel, church. Raise your hands and give Him praise. Hallelujah. I have a new walk. I have a new talk. I have a new name. It's written down in glory. My old man has been crucified. My body, my mind, my soul is no longer slaves to sin. But listen, I have a fresh vision. I have a sharper hearing. I have a new language. Listen, friends, when I got saved, I remember saying a word one time. I was raised in a Pentecostal home and I was out in the world working a secular job, and I came home and said one of those words in the presence of Dad. Mistake. Woo! I was still a big boy at that time. But He let me know in no uncertain terms I wasn't to say that word in His house. Hello. Huh? Why? Because He said that's what the old man says. Hello. And if you've been a new man, say hello. If you've been renewed, if you had a renewed spirit, a renewed mind, a renewed heart, you're going to have a new speech. Hello. Huh? I have a new outlook on life. Yes. Why? Because my slate has been wiped clean. I have cut the ties to my past. Hello. My sins have been cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. And if I cut the tie, I'm not going to follow him. Remember the story of the goat? Hello. I said, there as far as the east is from the west, the prophet Isaiah said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he's clothed me with the garments of salvation. Hallelujah. I've been washed in the blood. I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit in fire. I've been transformed, renewed in the spirit of my mind. I have put off the old man and been recreated in righteousness and true holiness. I've been changed. Somebody rejoice with me for just a moment. I've been changed. I want you to tell you this morning, the change agent is here in the house. I'm not what I used to be. I was blind, but now I see. That's what the songwriter said. I was lost, but now I'm found. My eyes don't look at the things they used to look at. My feet don't walk the places they used to walk. Listen to me, young people. When Jesus comes in, there's a change. My ears don't even listen to the things they used to listen to. Hello? My mouth, my heart don't hate. My heart don't lust like it used to. Why? There's been a change. My goodness, I gotta go. Some of us have done things you're not proud of. But I'm here to tell you God is merciful and He can cut the ties to your past. You don't have to go down with your past. Hello. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. No matter what you did in your past. No matter who you were in your past. When you accepted Christ, you became a new creature. Huh? You're a brand new person. You got a brand new identity. Disconnect from the old man. Disconnect from the old identity. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Whether you was a failure, a loser, a drunkard, a liar, a fornicator, an adulterer, a thief, or a murderer, or a crackhead. Hello? We were all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But now we're not what we used to be. We've been changed. We've been changed. And he says, now you're the salt of the earth. You're the light shining in the midst of the dark. Hey, there's been a change here. Now you're a vessel chosen to bring forth fruit. Now you can be a personal witness for Christ. Now instead of a slave, you're a servant unto righteousness. Now you're a temple, not a garbage dump. You're a dwelling place for God. His Holy Spirit can live in you. I'm talking about a transforming change this morning. Oh my goodness, you guys didn't. You weren't with me, I guess, when I had my coffee this morning. Just kidding. I don't even drink coffee. But I did have a sweet donut, and that, I guess, is what's got me going. Thank God there's been a change. Stand with me. Somebody here this morning, you need to cut the ties to your past. Quit following your past. You're going to end up in the bottom of the well. Hello? Paul writes to the church. He says, now you guys, instead of being dead, now that the change has transpired, he calls them lively stones. Being built up unto Christ, a new spiritual house. He says, now you're members of a chosen race, a royal what? Priesthood. You're a brand new person. Your past is forgiven. Now you've become the enemy to the devil instead of his buddy and his helper. Oh, I've seen the handiwork of God. Haven't you? When God touches a heart, Somebody shared with me right before I come out here, and I'm not going to say a name. But yes, last Sunday when we had the program and I led folks in prayer, and I told them, I said, you'll feel the change if you'll let Jesus come in. This little girl, if I understand it right, went home and told her parents, said, Pastor said I'd feel a change. And you know what? Mama, I felt a change. She said, I can't stop smiling. Praise God. I said, oh God, give us childlike faith. Give us childlike faith. You've gone as far as you can. You've gone as far as you can go with your mistakes. The mistakes of yesterday are hanging over your head. Those are dragging you down. They're wearing you out. Somebody here this morning, quit pretending that everything's all right. Quit it. Stop it. I'm being direct and I feel led to. Just stop pretending. And say, God, I've got to cut it once and for all. The ties to my past. Because I don't want to follow my past any longer. Kiss it goodbye. Don't you drag it into the new year. Let God do something brand new and wonderful in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, I don't know who you're speaking to. And I'm asking you that you would tap somebody on the shoulder this morning and tell them their life can be transformed if they'll disconnect from their past. Thank you, Jesus. You've spoke to us this morning, tongues and interpretation. The past of grudges and bitterness and anger. Oh God, we're going to come clean this morning. In Jesus' name, fill these altars with hearts that are longing and yearning for transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. The couple's already come. Who'll step out of your seat? Join me in the front. We're going to pray together. Oh, I can't go back. Just slip out of your seats. If you got to kneel down and pray at your seat, we understand. But I want some folks that'll say, Pastor, I want a clean break. Maybe I just want to get closer to the Lord in this coming year. Would you step out of your seat? Pastor, I want to come closer to the Lord in 2014. And I'm going to start it on this side of the calendar. I'm going to start it on this side of the calendar. Oh, hallelujah.
Before your presence came and changed.
Thank you, Jesus.
I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me.
Can I have some folks to help us pray for these young people?
I can't go back to the way.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, would you come and join us in the front?
Before your presence came and changed.
Maybe you want to stand in for an unsaved member of your family. You are welcome.
I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me.
Yes,
I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me.